When Paul states that organic natural man is of an animal soul level of consciousness that is incapable of comprehending his own higher soul reality, he was making reference to the reality that the mind must be matured and evolved in order to bring about the next stage of birth and enter the kingdom of man. When a person of a natural mind portrays himself as a man, this is synonymous with a fetus being portrayed as an infant. While it is true that a fetus has the potential to be born and become an infant, until the fetus is actually born, the fetus is in the process of developing enough to experience birth and become an infant. The same is true when we are born into this world as a cosmic ovum or sperm, see the cosmic ovum and sperm, which is holographically on the next level of birth within the process of the laws of creation. In the same way that the fetus has an undeveloped human body that is in the process of physically developing in accord with the laws of nature, when we are born into this world, we dwell in a mentally infantile condition that through the interaction of the natural laws, we have the potential to bring about the next stage of birth that is. Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God," see mental womb. Where our physical body can be portrayed as a cookie cutter process, this would not be true with respect to the process of mental development. Why? Because the development of mind requires choice, free will, and the living out of the choices we have made in order to learn through our experiences. Therefore, there can be no cookie-cutter interaction with the natural laws that bring about the next stage of birth. While the laws of nature can provide a physical body for the soul to inhabit, the development of mind requires a very different and complex interaction of the natural laws in order to respond to our choices, exercise of free will, and the mindset and lifestyle we have chosen to live out. Just because we are born in the image of man, that does not mean that we have attained the kingdom of man. And this is seen in the statement in Genesis. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground," Gen 1:26, which is followed by, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God he created them. Male and female he created them." Gen 1:27. What is portrayed in the term likeness is a higher reality that must be achieved. When Jesus taught in the parable of the call to the wedding feast that those who did not put on the required wedding garment would be cast into the outer darkness of mind and being, that is. So he said to him, "Friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, "Bind him hand and foot. Take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen." Matt 22:12-14 in KJ, and again, "For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Matt 25:28-30 NKJ. The outer darkness is the womb of Mother Earth, and the requirement to bring about the next stage of birth is the wedding garment of spiritual maturity. When rightly understood, what the Gospels portray as the outer darkness is parallel to the analogy of Plato's Cave of Illusions. The Gospel of Thomas opens with the profound statement, "And Jesus said, whoever finds the interpretation of these sayings will not experience death," which means that to find the interpretation of these sayings, the seeker/disciple must overcome their own divided nature and, like an embryo that has been brought into existence through the combining of an ovum and sperm, upon entering this world must bring about the next stage of birth by, quoting Gospel of Thomas saying 22, making the two one. "And when you make the inside like the outside, and the outside like the inside, and the above like the below, and when you make the male and the female one and the same, so that the male not be male nor the female female, then will you enter the kingdom." Only when the inner division of mind that is represented in the above and below, the left and right, the outside and the inside, and the male and female, can the next stage of birth be achieved. Which means from a holographic perspective, if you as a cosmosci ovum or sperm succeeded in becoming a cosmic embryo, you must then evolve into a cosmic fetus and mature to the level where you can enter the kingdom of man. If all that exists, exists within the mind of God, that is, for in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring, Acts 17:28 NIV. And we are in fact created in the image of God with the potential to exist in the image of God, then it is perhaps best to envision each individual soul as having a vertical slice of a whole. Which means that in the same way that within the mind of God exists the seven divisions or kingdoms that comprise white light, and that paradoxically, on one level each of these kingdoms appear to function independent of the other six, then these same divided kingdoms not only exist within the higher reality of the soul, but as an embryonic image of the soul. See man as an embryonic soul image. Mankind is imbued with these same incremental divisions within himself. And in the same way that as a segment of the whole, each soul holographically inherits a vertical slice as an image of the soul. Each person inherits a vertical slice of their higher soul self. Which means that in the same way that the great multitude exists within the mind of God, and the multitude of soul-generated personalities exist within the higher reality of the individual soul. This means that this same division exists with each of us. Not only across the spectrum of a fragmented human personality, but also a fragmented lower nature that is comprised of the lower three earthly kingdoms. And so long as we remain fragmented and divided, it will be impossible for us to achieve the next stage of soul birth where we become at one with our higher soul self, that is the true being of light that we are. Returning to the above statements, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, and why the Gospel of Thomas statement recognize what is in your sight, and that which is hidden from you will become plain to you, and the statement of the modern physicist who portrays the images we see as the facade of a blemish or shadow image of the outer darkness or shadow image in Plato's cave of illusions, because we dwell in a divided three-dimensional realm. What we are perceiving with our very limited earthbound and generated senses are aspects of mind that are presented to us in allegorical imagery, which means that only when we begin to understand what we see with the allegorical meaning of the form of the imagery, only then can we begin to recognize what is in our sight, and only then can we begin to perceptively comprehend the higher 12-dimensional source that causes what the physicist portrays as a blemish. But what does this mean? In his 1951 textbook on quantum theory, Baum offered some interesting speculations on the analogies between quantum processes and thought processes, thus carrying further the celebrated statement made by the astronomer James Jeans 2 decades earlier. Today, there is a wide measure of agreement that the stream of knowledge is heading towards a non-mechanical reality. The universe begins to look more like a great thought than like a great machine. And the statement by astronomer Arthur Eddington, "The stuff of the universe is mind stuff." Max Planck, who is considered the founder of quantum theory, stated, "As a man who has devoted his whole life to the most clear-headed science, to the study of matter, I can tell you as a result of my research about atoms this much. There is no matter as such. All matter originates and exists only by virtue of a force which brings the particle of an atom to vibration and holds this most minute solar system of the atom together. We must assume behind this force the existence of a conscious and intelligent mind. This mind is the matrix of all matter." More recently, cyberneticist David Foster described an intelligent universe whose apparent concreteness is generated by cosmic data from an unknowable, organized source. The reality of the holographic theory says that our brains mathematically construct hard reality by interpreting frequencies from a dimension transcending time and space. The brain is a hologram, interpreting a holographic universe. If you understand what is being said, then you can begin to understand why mystics who have walked the spiritual path in search of gnosis and the divine manna of the kingdom of God have traditionally warned others that what they see with their physical eyes, that is, the objects that appear to their organic senses and mind as being concrete and solid matter, is merely an illusion. And if we ask the question, what does this mean? What we are confronted with is a reality that few biblical skeptics are even prepared to embrace, that is, that the allegorical nature of the scriptures is merely an extension of man's own consciousness, mind, and being. Because we dwell in a three-dimensional world, what we are seeing is images of mind impressed into the allegorical images of nature. As modern science has already proven, what man sees as concrete matter is in reality a spectrum of frequencies of thought that the physical mind interprets as being concrete, and in reality, the images that we physically see are very much aspects of mind impressed into allegorical forms and symbols of nature that reveal to the seeker/disciple the forces and laws operating within their own mind and being. See the illusion of the forms of matter. The source of soul light. If our true self is a being of white light, NIC, that is, manifest intellect and knowing in a holographic reality. God is also white light, and all-knowing, which means that as expressions of both God and our higher soul self, we are also white light. Which provokes the question, if this is true, then why don't we appear as a being of white light? The answer is very simple. We can only perceive with our physical senses, that part of us that is of the earth's vibration that is. Our physical eyes are comprised of earth matter, and can only perceive that vibration which is of the earth. This reality of what can be portrayed as organic blindness that limits our perception to the vibration of earth matter has been explored at soul evolution, reincarnation, and soul development from the perspective of the modern physicist. That part of us that we see is very much the blemish within the greater etheric field of the self that is. Quoting physicist Walter Thuring in his book, Erbostinder Matteri, where he wrote about matter, that modern physics has put our thinking about the essence of matter in a different context. It has taken our gaze from the visible, the particles, to the underlying entity, the field. The presence of matter is merely a disturbance of the perfect state of the field at that place. Something accidental. One could almost say, a blemish. Accordingly, there are no simple laws describing the forces between elementary particles, order and symmetry must be sought in the underlying field, which is portrayed in the words of cyberneticist David Foster, who described an intelligent universe whose apparent concreteness is generated by cosmic data from an unknowable, organized source. The holographic reality says that our brains mathematically construct hard reality by interpreting frequencies from a dimension transcending time and space. The brain is a hologram, interpreting a holographic universe. What this means is that our brains, which are made up of earth matter, can only detect those parts of self that is of an earth vibrational frequency, which is why the Gospel of Thomas states, "Recognize what is in your sight, and that which is hidden from you will become plain to you." Those people who have developed their innate resources of mind and have manifested to varying degrees what the scriptures portray as the eyes to see, and are able to observe that our form as a man or woman is the result of the interaction of the forces in the greater field that surrounds our physical body, are able to see more than those who lack the eyes to see, that is. The prophecy of Isaiah when Jesus said, "In them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving." Matt 13:14. While Jesus said of his disciples whose eyes, ears and perceptive understanding had been opened and were no longer limited to the physical, "But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear." Matt 13:15. This is not the case with organic man in his natural state of divided development. From the perspective of the pattern of mind as portrayed in the Tree of Life, so long as a person is looking out with undeveloped senses, through the divided eyes of male or female, they will remain blind to man's higher soul reality. If the divine pattern of creation is mother/father God, see Trinity, divine pattern, and the third force of Logos or Son of God that is representative of the mind of God, then, unless we can overcome our own division of male and female, we will remain blind to our own higher soul reality. In like manner, our soul self that was created in the image of God is a being of white light wherein the division of male/female at that level of our being is in oneness. Quoting the Universal Jewish Encyclopedia under the heading of Souls, Transmigration of, the doctrine of transmigration of souls, which was especially accepted by the Karaites, is defended by Isaac Abravanel and Manasseh ben Israel. It appears often in Kabbalah. It is found in organized form in the Zohar. It is further developed in the teachings of Isaac Luria, 1534 to 1572. And in Hasidism, it becomes a universal belief. According to these teachings, all human souls have a common origin in the spiritual unity of the primordial man, sparks of which form the individual souls. The sin of Adam brought higher and lower souls into confusion. As a result, every soul has to pass through a series of incarnations. The soul itself has no sex, which is determined by the body and may vary from incarnation to incarnation. The soul has no sex, because our true self, that is, our soul self, is not divided across the spectrum of male and female, and is therefore the very embodied manifestation of intellect and light. Thus, the pre-existent soul of man, which are portrayed in the foregoing as sparks of which form the individual souls, are in fact the beings of light, see, encountered by some in a near-death experience, and it is this being of light that is asexual and without a physical body as we perceive in this world. That is each person's true form and self. But what this also means is that so long as we are looking out at the world through the eyes of a divided man or woman, or thinking and perceiving reality from the perspective of a divided man or woman, that we will remain incapable of perceiving and comprehending our own higher soul reality. In the article at Where White Light is discussed, the reality of white light is that it is comprised of the seven colors of the rainbow, which in sound equates to the octave. In Genesis 9:13 it states, "I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth." And the bow, rainbow, is a sign of the embodiment of the one that is comprised of the seven, which is comprised of the 12, and it is this pattern that is holographically replicated into all of creation. The important point to consider is the fact that within the spectrum of white light exists the seven colors that, when diffused as presented in the above image at the right, is seen in the condition of separation from the other colors, which means that holographically, where the pattern is replicated, the white light of God is comprised of seven kingdoms, as is the white light of the soul, with the potential of white in the etheric bodies and slash or aura that surrounds the physical body of mankind. And while on one level each of the seven kingdoms are at one in the wholeness of the white light, they also exist as separate entities on another level, where we can see that the white light is comprised of seven independent colors. Just like in sound, an octave is comprised of the seven incremental primary notes, which, when the halftones are included, gives us the magic number of 12, with the 12 portraying the four trinities that comprise the pattern and blueprint of the mind. But more important is the reality that it is therefore impossible to have white light apart from the seven colors that form and manifest the white light. Further, what we portray as mind is the product of our third force balance of the male/female opposites that must exist in order for the mind to exist. In the wisdom of the ancients, the Logos was a portrayal of the mind of God, and it existed as the third force balance or offspring of mother/father God. The Logos or mind of God also exists at the core of every person's being, and was portrayed by the followers of Jesus as the Son of God or true prophet. See. The reality of a hologram or holographic reality is that the pattern of the whole is replicated into each of the parts that make it up. And this is why the allegorical Genesis account states that mankind was created in the image of God, male and female he created them, which means that from a holographic perspective, everything that exists within God also exists within mankind. But so long as the polarities of male and female remain divided and detached, the person's perceptive understanding will remain limited and earthbound. Which reality is expressed in the wisdom of the Delphic Oracle, which states, "Heed these words, you who wish to probe the depths of nature. If you do not find within yourself that which you seek, neither will you find it outside. If you ignore the wonders of your own house, how do you expect to find other wonders? In you is hidden the treasure of treasures. Know thyself, and you will know the universe and the gods." Which provokes the question, how can it even be stated, if you do not find within yourself that which you seek, neither will you find it outside? While the vast majority of modern authorities would immediately reject this statement as absurd, when rightly understood, it is true beyond even their ability to grasp and imagine. The Source of Soul Light, Part 2, and the Vertical Slice of Creation. Genesis 9:13 reads, "I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth." But what does this mean? Why is the rainbow with its seven color spectrum a sign of the covenant between God and man? In the same way that within the cosmic white light of God there are seven kingdoms, and holographically the seven kingdoms are replicated into the pattern of the each of our higher soul self, which is our true self, that is the being of light encountered in a near-death experience. And holographically the seven kingdoms of our soul self are replicated into the pattern of man's physical spiritual centers, or what the Easterners call chakras, which on one level exist as white light, while on another level are the independent colors or centers of the body slash mind of man. But in order for the soul self to be white light, the soul must be comprised of what can be portrayed as a vertical slice of the pie of creation, just as man can be portrayed as a vertical slice of the soul. And if mankind in the physical is the fourth kingdom, the center that is the balance of the upper heavenly and the lower earthly, with the lower three earthly kingdoms are perceived to appear to our senses as mineral, vegetable, and animal. In a series of Nazarene Forum posts, which was named the Original 600 series, I portray the upper three heavenly kingdoms that would encompass spiritual center 5, 6, and 7. But what this also means is that the only means to bring about a condition of at-oneness with our higher soul self is to achieve the wholeness set forth in the gospel healings, which is why the Eastern paths of meditation and suppression of the lower centers does not work to bring about the next stage of birth. In fact, the only source that has the process of birth correct is the version of Gospel of Thomas saying 22 that is preserved in the Gospel of the Nazarenes, which reads, "And one of the disciples asked him, 'How shall a man enter into the kingdom?' And he answered and said, 'If you don't make below as the above, and the left as the right, and the behind as the before, entering into the center and passing into the spirit, you will not enter into the kingdom of God.'" Throughout the above, I confirm the teachings of Jewish mysticism and the Zohar where it is written. According to these teachings, all human souls have a common origin in the spiritual unity of the primordial man, sparks of which form the individual souls. And when it is recognized that the original spark of the divine that formed the soul was white light, and that the seven colors of the rainbow in harmony and oneness create the white light, then the evolution of the sparks and the formation of an evolved and great light that forms the being of light is dependent upon the evolution of each of those rays of color vibration that comprise the white light of the soul. Which means that while on one level, there must be maintained a degree of separation for each of the seven kingdoms/colors to be expressed and interact, while on another level a deeper connection must be maintained that brings about an interaction across the spectrum of the seven kingdoms/colors. This separation on one level, and connection on a deeper level, is not only true and maintained in the outer world, but also within each of us. In the diagram of the spiritual centers at the right, we see the division of the seven colors that are necessary to manifest white light. The fact that white light cannot exist apart from the seven colors means that each of the seven colors on one level must be independent of the other colors, while on another level they must exist as the manifestation of white light. Further, that in their separation, each of the seven kingdoms/colors are imbued with a level of consciousness appropriate for that level of mind, and yet only on the higher connected level of mind that is beyond the perceptive vision of man's untransformed earthly senses are they perceived to be aspects of the whole, can man's higher soul reality be manifest, where the seven are brought into a state of oneness. What this means is that at man's organic, natural level of consciousness, where he perceives the world with senses comprised of earth matter, he is only able to perceive each of the earthly kingdoms in their separated reality of mineral, vegetable, animal, and is only able to detect and perceive the three earthly kingdoms in the fourth kingdom of mankind, because his senses with which he looks out at the world are of an earth vibratory frequency. He is not only blind to the upper three heavenly kingdoms, but is also unable to perceive the reality of the whole, where all seven kingdoms exist as one in the embodiment of white light. In order to perceive the whole reality, each of the seven kingdoms must not only evolve and develop independently, but also be harmonized across that spectrum of mind and being where they exist as one. And throughout this article, this self-knowledge that can be portrayed as the pattern and blueprint of self is portrayed as the cosmology of mind and being, and is the basis of the ancient adage that is presented in the Gospel of Thomas in the words, "But if you will not know yourselves, you dwell in poverty, and it is you who are that poverty." When the question was posed to Jesus as to how the kingdom is entered in that version of Gospel of Thomas saying 22 that has been preserved in the Gospel of the Nazarenes, that is, "If you don't make below as the above, and the left as the right, and the behind as the before, entering into the center and passing into the spirit, you will not enter into the kingdom of God." The key term here is the word center, meaning that the left and right male/female columns of the mind as portrayed in the tree of life, along with the three upper heavenly kingdoms that must be merged with their lower natures in the three earthly kingdoms and brought into the center, which center is the kingdom of man, a condition portrayed in the phrase "son of man," which equates to our becoming a child of the kingdom, see children. And it is this reality that is expressed in the statement, "And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, 'Truly, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven.'" Matt 18:2-3. And it is this condition where the whole of self is in harmony and balanced in the center that portrays the one who has turned about and become as a child, that is, a child of the kingdom in the manner that each of us was when as the prodigal son/daughter. We abandoned the kingdom of the Father and traveled into this, the far country. And it is this turned about condition which achieves wholeness that is presented in the question of the above teaching that has been preserved in the Gospel of Thomas. "Shall we then, as children, enter the kingdom?" Jesus said to them, when you make the two one, and when you make the inside like the outside, and the outside like the inside, and the above like the below, and when you make the male and the female one and the same, so that the male not be male nor the female female, then will you enter the kingdom. When you can accomplish this, you will not only become whole, but you will manifest the white light of your higher soul self. It might also be pointed out that the center sphere of the tree of life is the love sphere, and this sphere of divine love can only be active when the other 11 spheres exist in a condition of wholeness. Each of the three lower earthly kingdoms and the kingdom of man are interacting and evolving separately in the outer world. But the most important interaction is taking place within us, where the lower three kingdoms are directly interacting with the fourth kingdom of human consciousness as manifest in the kingdom of man. In the case of most people, because of their immature and undeveloped condition, they are being ruled over by their lower animal nature. See organic man ruled over by his lower animal nature. When one begins to understand the cosmology of mind and being, and they understand that the lower three earthly kingdoms are a reflection of the upper three heavenly kingdoms, and such a person is able to bring the upper and lower together in the center, fulfilling the teaching. Jesus said to them, "When you make the two one, and when you make the inside like the outside, and the outside like the inside, and the above like the below, and when you make the male and the female one and the same, so that the male not be male nor the female female, then will you enter the kingdom." Only then can wholeness be achieved through the next stage of birth that transforms the self into a child of the kingdom. That is, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. The images we perceive in the outer world are aspects of mind impressed into the forms of nature interacting with each other in the process of mental and spiritual evolution. Soul breath and the common ground of the fourth kingdom. Few modern religious leaders, both East and West, understand the reality of soul evolution and how it must be brought about. In understanding the reality of self that is explored throughout the above subheadings of this article on the Tree of Life, it is important to understand that soul evolution and advancement can only be accomplished while the soul is incarnate and manifest in the physical body. Why? Because only when the soul is projected into the body of the fourth kingdom are all seven kingdoms manifest as the spiritual centers of the body and are therefore able to interact with each other. And without this interaction of opposites, no evolutionary growth can take place. If we liken the mind to a computer, the computer will be dysfunctional unless it is plugged into a power source. In the image on the right, we see the seven spiritual centers of the body that supply bioenergy, or vital life force, as a power source for the body consciousness. In the allegorical book of Revelations, which presently sits as the last book in the New Testament, these seven power centers are portrayed as the seven cities. In the quasi-historical cloak of the allegorical account of the Gospels, the spiritual centers are represented by the cities, while the evolving mind is represented in the 12 disciples. There are seven spiritual centers, because the mind of man is complex, and each level of consciousness requires a different frequency of vital life force for power. What this means is that the consciousness associated with the lower earthly centers of mind cannot be powered by the frequencies of what is necessary to provide the power of the upper heavenly centers of mind. The frequencies of the spiritual centers of the body can very much be likened to the musical instruments that belong to the violin family. Quoting the Wikipedia, both the violin and viola are played under the jaw. The viola, being the larger of the two instruments, has a playing range that reaches a perfect fifth below the violin's. The cello is played sitting down with the instrument between the knees, and its playing range reaches an octave below the viola's. The double bass is played standing or sitting on a stool, with a range that typically reaches a minor sixth, an octave or a ninth below the cello's. In the same way that the appropriate member of the violin family must be used to play the desired range of notes, and a standard violin cannot play in the range of a cello, neither can each segment of mind associated with each level of consciousness that is necessary to manifest white light be manifest unless the frequency range of the vital life force be of the correct vibration. The area of mind associated with the color violet, which is necessary to comprehend and manifest the impressions of man's higher soul and spiritual natures, cannot be manifest by the lower frequencies associated with the color red and the genital area of consciousness, which means that it is impossible for organic men and women who are ruled over by the lower centers of mind to comprehend man's higher soul and spiritual natures and realities. which fact of life was confirmed by Paul when he warned that it was impossible for the baptized and confirmed Christians who he personally taught to understand their own higher soul reality. See animal soul consciousness. And that so long as the faith-based believers were being ruled over by their lower, carnal, centers, it would remain impossible for them to comprehend the true spiritual meaning of the gospel teachings. And this is why Paul commanded, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature," Col 3:5 NIV. If the congregation of believers could simply have faith, without living a consecrated life set apart from the thinking and lifestyle of the people of this world, then Paul would not have warned the believers of the simple faith that, "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." Rom 8:13 KJV.